The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But you know the funniest thing about Europe is?
What?
It's the little differences. I mean, they got the same shit over there that they got here, but it's just there, it's a little different.
Example.
All right, well, you can walk into a movie theater in Amsterdam and buy a beer. And I don't mean just like a little paper cup. I'm talking about a glass of beer. And in Paris, you can buy a beer in McDonald's. And you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
Oh, man, they got the metric system. They wouldn't know what the fuck a quarter pounder is.
And what do they call it?
They call it the Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
That's right.
What do they call a Big Mac?
Big Mac's a Big Mac, but they call it Le Big Mac.
Le Big Mac. What do they call a Whopper?
I don't know. I didn't go on a Burger King.
The great dialogue from the movie Pulp Fiction on Inside Hollywood. It is part of our series on the perfect movie. I'm joined by Lisa Cannon, head of studio at DMG Media. Lisa, good morning.
Oh, good morning. One of my favourites.
Great dialogue. How much of that was improvised?
Funnily enough, we were talking just before we got started. Quentin Tarantino is a very pedantic, truculent director. Now, he's amazing, right? He's a genius. But you do not go off script. And John Travolta to ask many times just to even add one word. He writes script verbatim and you have to perform. So, but improvise your style, but not go off script.
So that exchange there, which seems very improvised, is actually scripted tightly by Tarantino.
Within an inch of its life. And, you know, Tarantino, everybody knows him. He's a household name. He's like Scorsese and Spielberg. But what's wonderful about this particular film is that in 1994, the Hollywood machine was very, very tired, very formulaic, kind of blockbusters, rom-coms, and in comes this kind of crazy director with a suit full of chaos just off the back of Reservoir Dogs. And this film broke every rule. It was violent. It was almost semi-pornographic. You know, Harvey Weinstein wanted to pull it from Miramax. He thought, oh my God, what has Quentin made? But, you know, made for 8 million, 5 million of that going on salaries. It was made for peanuts and it broke records everywhere.
Now, Tarantino, he threatened that he would pull the whole thing if one frame was changed by Miramax.
Yes, this is what I mean. So when it was actually screened in Cannes, it was kind of deemed immoral and, as I mentioned, kind of pornographic violence with punchlines. And Tarantino's absolutely synonymous with his violence. He's been questioned on it many times. You know, is it right to put this amount of violence in film? And he said, even if it was edited down for release, he flat out refused and said, I will walk if they cut one frame.
Now, tell me about the casting.
Well, you know, Bruce Willis was dragged in because he saved the film financially. And he was kind of a movie star off the back of a lot of flops at the time. And he needed a career resurgence. John Travolta, similar. Samuel L. Jackson is him. He's amazing as it is. But Miramax were nervous about no bankable star. So when Bruce Willis met Tarantino at a party, he had said he'd been such a fan of his work. Is there any other movies he could think he could put him in? And Tarantino was thinking and thinking and thinking. And he said, OK, I have one small role. You might like it. Have a read. And he came back the next morning and said, I'm in, no matter what the cost. So he said, without Bruce Willis, there is no Pulp Fiction. But they never got on, seemingly.
Now, we have a clip here of Tarantino himself talking about all of this.
We weren't going out to Bruce Willis. I mean, he was one of the top three biggest stars in the world. I originally wrote the part for Matt Dillon. He wasn't so sure. He didn't 100% get it. In the meantime, Harvey Keitel, so he would invite friends to come over for the weekend, and there's Bruce Willis. I've never met him before. He is a huge fan of Reservoir Dogs. And then he goes, Quentin, I read your script. Wow. I mean, that blew my mind. And he goes, I want to play Vincent. I kind of have a John Travolta set up for Vincent. What if I play Jules? I know he's black, but he could just be a hipster dude. So I think about it all night long. And finally, I realized I can't do it. And he goes, it's all okay. Let me take you off the hook. I get it. I go, Bruce, but I think you should be in this movie. Read the script one more time with the idea of you playing Butch. And if you don't respond, you don't respond. And he goes, okay, I'll do that. And then I called him the next day and he said, Quentin, I'm in.
And you can't imagine anyone else playing Butch as it happens.
No, you can't. But then when you think about it, Daniel Day-Lewis wanted to play Vincent Vega. With John Travolta gone, which of course was his career resurgence, could you imagine? Tarantino said no, actually, to Daniel Day-Lewis. I don't think many people say no to him. But I think what's wonderful about it is the script writing. You know, so many critics have said, you know, it's so well written, you want to hug it. And of course, it won the Palme d'Or that year and audience exploded. But it catapulted Tarantino into almost iconic status right after that, and it became a cult following and still is.
Now, we mentioned how tightly he scripts everything, and we've talked about Bruce Willis. We have a clip here of Bruce in action. So let's hear him, because this does sound utterly improvised.
A husband being protective of his wife is one thing. A husband almost killing another man for touching his wife's feet is something else.
When did it happen?
Only thing Antoine ever touched in mine was my hand when he shook it. At my wedding.
Really?
Truth is, nobody knows why Marsalis threw Tony out of that four-story window except Marsalis and Tony. When you little scamps get together, you're worse than a sewing circle.
Ladies and gentlemen, now the moment you've all been waiting for, the world-famous Jackrabbit Slim's Twist Contest. Now this is where one lucky couple will win this handsome trophy that Marilyn here is holding. Now, who will be our first contestants?
Right here. Want to dance?
No.
I do believe Marsalis, my husband, your boss, told you to take me out and do whatever I wanted. Now I want to dance. I want to win. I want that trophy. So dance good.
All right.
Okay, that's Uma Thurman again for her career making movie.
Yeah, absolutely. She became, of course, as we know, she went on to the Kill Bill film. She became, I suppose, Tarantino's muse, but she actually didn't want to take the role because she felt very uncomfortable with the drug overdose scene, which actually stars Brona Gallagher. I was watching it back last night, like realised so many different people in it, but Tarantino wooed her by reading the whole script over the phone to her. Now, in that particular scene, I just want to talk about it very briefly. Tarantino actually used a quarter of his budget on the dance scene because he said, you know, to the actors, if I'm going to make Travolta dance, I'm giving him the stage. And he refused to shoot an existing diner and built a whole new diner. And that, of course, is one of the most famous scenes in the movie, really.
Almost half the budget went on the set.
The sets, yeah. He's so difficult, which is not maybe the best word to use for Tarantino, but he's so genius in what he does, is that he knows exactly how he wants everything to be crafted. And even he taught Tarantino how to dance. Sorry, he taught, Travolta how to dance. He wanted each one to have a different move. And Uma Thurman's dance move is based on the Aristocrats, on the Cats, when they used to dance together. So he maps out everything in his mind. You know, there's nothing that goes unturned.
Now, where does the title Pulp Fiction come from?
Oh, yes, of course. This is an interesting story as well, because, you know, when you look at Tarantino, this is all scribbled in a rented apartment, you know, in the back of a car almost, you know. He'd never done anything as mainstream like this before. But actually, the kind of the 1,000 ripoffs of screenplays were of the magazines that were stored in his apartment. And I think what's interesting about it is that, you know, those pulp magazines, the French New Wave, Godard and 70s kind of crime flicks were all there as well. So,
and there's a little hidden thing there for film buffs in Vincent's bathroom scenes. The novel Modesty Blaze is lying on the counter, which is a nod to
the Pulp Fiction magazines, inspiring, of course, the title at the time. But many of the cast rehearsed in his apartment as well. He had no money. It was a grotty little grimy apartment. Other directors kind of stated that, you know, I think Tarantino can kind of tell stories in a wild, fragmented way, but at the same time, when they come together, they're just epics. I mean, lots of overlapping arcs as well in the movie. People feel that there could have been three stories to Pulp Fiction, and it's a long movie, but I think ultimately one of the most perfect movies. I think it's just incredible.
Well, we'll conclude with that clip of Bruce Willis in action. Distinguish between a motorbike and a chopper.
Yeah.
Where did you get this motorcycle?
It's not a motorcycle, baby. It's a chopper. Come on, let's go.
What happened to my Honda?
I'm sorry, baby. I had to crash that Honda. Will you come on now, please? Come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
You hurt?
No. I might have broken my nose. It's no biggie. Come on, hop on. Baby, please. We gotta hit the road. Get on. Come here. I'm so sorry.
You were gone so long, I started to think dreadful thoughts.
Oh, I'm sorry, sweetie. I didn't mean to worry. Everything's fine. How was your breakfast?
It was good.
Did you get the pancakes? The blueberry pancakes?
I didn't have blueberry pancakes. I had to get buttermilk. Oh, are you sure you're okay?
Honey, since I left you, this has been without a doubt the single weirdest day of my life. Come on, hop on. I'll tell you all about it. Come on, get on. Gotta go. Come on.
Whose motorcycle is this?
It's a chopper, baby.
Whose chopper is this?
Zed's.
Who's Zed?
Zed's dead, baby. Zed's dead.
Zed's dead.
Zed's dead. Yeah, everybody great. Loves that line, don't they? They really
now,
do.
How did it do at the Oscars?
It scooped best screenplay at the Oscars, but lost best picture to Forrest Gump, which I still, it's a decision definitely still debated, and was inducted into the US National Film Registry in 2013. So really wonderful. And Tarantino stars in his own movies, as you know. So he played Jimmy, the coffee-obsessed kind of dead body problem fixer, a bit like Hitchcock. He likes to pop himself into his own movies.
Very good. Lisa Cannon, head of studio at DMG Media. Thank you very much
Thank
for
you
joining
very much,
us.
Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.